Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Lemonada.
I remember like hearing my back break.
Brock Crouch was filming a snowboarding video in British Columbia in April 2018 when his life changed forever.
My whole face was messed up. I had like rocks up in my teeth and stuff. I just remember like asking if the camera guy on the other peak had eyes on me. He's like, I don't really see you. And then all of a sudden it was just like avalanche, avalanche, avalanche on the radio. I grew up surfing in Southern California, and I kind of tell everybody that it felt like I was just in a huge ball of whitewash forever, and I couldn't really, I just kept seeing like blue and snow and blue and snow, blue and snow, and then I just remember getting down to the bottom and was really buried. It was like a black hole, and just remember saying, I love snowboarding. It'll be a gift from God if I make it out of this. I was fully passed out, and I woke up to them like clapping above my face, because that's what you're supposed to do to try and bring someone back. Super thankful to still be here, that's for sure. I have a tattoo on my arm that says, live for the moment because yesterday's over and tomorrow may never come, because that's just a quote I saw in the hospital, and that one really like stuck with me.
Avalanches are on the rise, and scientists blame the weather variability caused by climate change. We are coming off of a winter where 37 people died in avalanches in the United States, the most in recorded history. Seeing the effects and consequences of climate change firsthand, winter athletes like Brock are determined to do something about it.
It sucks when people don't believe in it or don't see it changing, because a lot of people are fortunate enough to be able to travel the world and get to like go and experience all these cool places. So when you're seeing it like in front of your eye, it's something that's pretty scary for sure.
Hi, I'm NBCLX storyteller Ngozi Okeledo, and I'm joined by my co-host Apollo Ono. He's Team USA's most decorated Winter Olympian, a best-selling author, and even a Dancing with the Stars champion.
Thank you, Ngozi. This is My New Favorite Olympian, where we introduce you to some of the most inspiring members of Team USA, not just because of how they're dominating the competition, but because of what they're doing when the cameras are off.
Apollo, how many countries have you been to?
A lot. I think probably over 75 countries, more like stamps in my passport that I can get. I always get the extra like pages because it runs out very quickly.
So going off of that, while traveling the world, what effects of climate change have you seen?
So like traveling all over the world, I think that I've seen like both extremes, right? Places that are extremely hot that have never seen that type of record heat. Places that shouldn't be cold but are like freezing temperatures. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense, right? Like we see these seasonal patterns typically that the seasons give us like different temperatures and falls and climates, but it feels like everything is out of whack.
Even if you can't see it, you can feel climate change. In Atlanta, Georgia, near where I'm from, the average temperature has increased nearly 2 degrees Fahrenheit in the last 30 years.
The effects of climate change are very real, and they're affecting everyone.
I think that we as winter sports athletes are the canaries in the coal mine.
That's two-time Olympic champion David Wise.
we get to experience winter more intimately than anybody else does. Our livelihood depends on it. And having our winters be more and more questionable and volatile really hit us closest to home.
That's why we are dedicating this episode to spotlighting several winter athletes who are actively fighting climate change. We spoke to David while the freestyle skier was training in Saas-Fee, Switzerland.
Ironically, I mean, I'm talking about this from one of the first places that I really got to experience climate change firsthand. I think the first time I came over here was 15 years ago, and the glacier was almost down, like down to the town. And I've been able to watch the glacier just recede. And so I think scientifically, you can read a million things and you can know that it's a problem and you can understand scientifically why it's a problem. But when you see it actually happening and you're like, wow, that glacier is literally 1,000 feet above where it was when I first came here, or 1,500 feet above, it kind of puts things in perspective for you.
David is right. A recent study found that glaciers in the nearby French Alps lost an average of 25% of their surface area between 2003 and 2015, and the rate of shrinkage has nearly tripled.
If the snow goes away, then my job goes away, and all the things that I love to do in the wintertime go away. The reality is there's things that were a significant part of my lifetime and a significant part of my career as a skier that are not going to be available to my kids by the time they're my age. And I would really love for my grandkids to be able to go skiing with me. So that's why I feel like it's something that we have to move on now.
Weather's been a big part of the game since its inception almost 100 years ago.
That's Daniel Scott, a professor at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, who has spent more than 20 years studying climate change, sports, and tourism. Scott has worked with several global agencies, including the International Olympic Committee, trying to answer this question. What does climate change mean for the Winter Olympics?
You're really dependent, at least the outdoor sports, on snow cover and the temperatures to make the snow, maintain the ice and snow conditions that athletes need.
Conditions have changed drastically since the first Winter Olympics were held in France in 1924.
Many of the early games, you know, hockey and figure skating, all those events were held outside. And so over the last almost 100 years, the Olympics has looked at how do we reduce our weather risks so we move sports like hockey indoors.
And conditions will continue to change drastically. In 2018, Scott published an alarming study on the threat climate change could pose for the Winter Olympics. He found that of the 21 cities that have hosted a Winter Olympics, 9 might not be reliably cold enough to host the Olympics again by mid-century. Let that sink in. By 2050, cities that recently hosted the Winter Olympics, like Vancouver in 2010 and Sochi in 2014, could be too warm to host the Winter Games ever again. In fact, winter conditions at the Sochi Games were so unpredictable that event organizers had to store snow from the previous winter under insulated blankets to ensure they would have enough.
So what we really see is the geography of where you can have the Winter Olympics really starts to change, both in our lifetime, but in certainly for the next generation of athletes.
Winter sports are far from the only ones threatened by climate change.
When we look at what does climate change mean for golf, what does it mean for your ability to practice, you know, football in the southern states and play games in the extreme heat, there's implications throughout the sporting world.
Scott says we need to act now to slow climate change.
If you're an outdoor or winter sports fan, there's self-interest. If you want to preserve this for future generations, or your kids are involved in these sort of types of sports, if skiing is part of your lifestyle, there's a real difference between a low and a high emission future. So that's one of the key takeaways, that we can't stop all of the impacts, but we can stop the worst of them.
What I'm really encouraged by is the fact that the winter sports community has really come together to address this.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Burakowski, a climate scientist and assistant professor at the University of New Hampshire. She is a member of the Science Alliance for Protect Our Winters, a nonprofit with a mission of protecting the outdoors by advocating for climate change legislation.
They are getting political. They're talking about climate change, and we're getting to a point where I feel like the conversations are loud enough that folks in Congress are listening.
Protect Our Winters organizes trips that bring Winter Olympians to Capitol Hill to urge Congress to take action on climate change. One of those trips was in 2018 on the heels of the Pyeongchang Olympics.
It was very scary. I remember really just being alarmed at how much my hands could sweat in a single day.
That's cross-country skier Jessie Diggins. You might remember her for what might be one of the greatest play-by-play calls in Olympic history.
The U.S. and Norway coming to the line.
Here comes Diggins! Here comes Diggins!
Diggins making the play around Sweden.
Yes!
Jessie Diggins,
yes!
To the line.
Yes!
And it is,
yes!
Jessie Diggins.
Goal!
Armed with the first ever Olympic gold medal won by an American in cross-country skiing, Jessie turned heads when she set foot on Capitol Hill.
So we can use athletes to help get in the door, say, hey, you want to shake the hand of a gold medalist? And also listen to our scientists who are very smart. And so it's kind of the 1-2 punch of trying to figure out how to make a difference.
Our winter athletes are some of the best advocates for dealing with climate change of anybody that I know.
That's U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado who co-hosted Jessie and the Protect Our Winters athletes on Capitol Hill for a bipartisan congressional briefing with Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins.
They're such credible voices in this debate because people don't view them as political. People view them as people who are representing the United States of America and speaking out from a conviction that's based on their experience on the ground, or in our case, in the mountains.
When congressional representatives held her medal that day, Jessie pointed to a chip at the top of the medal.
You can replace a medal. You can make a new one. You always have that memory. But we have one planet. We have one shot. We can't screw this up. Like, this is an irreplaceable item that affects everyone on the planet. And so it is important that we get this right with the time we have.
Jessie shared troubling visual reminders of climate change, such as moss and flowers blooming on the side of a trail in the Arctic Circle in mid-November.
I'm worried about the future of our sport, and I really want, you know, my kids and grandkids to be able to ski someday and experience the sport that I love so much. I don't want to be the generation that ruins it for everybody else.
When there is not enough real snow, event organizers are forced to use man-made snow, which makes winter sports more dangerous.
Real snow is so much softer, right? So one, if you fall, you have snowbanks on the side of the course. You're not sliding off into rocks and trees and mud where you could actually get very hurt. Now that we're moving to much more man-made snow, the course is getting faster and icier, is actually a little bit dangerous for us, because if you start sliding, you're going to keep sliding on ice. And so we have seen, I think, more injuries because of this.
Jessie quickly bonded with Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from her home state of Minnesota, who co-chairs the Congressional Olympic and Paralympic Caucus and ran for president in 2020.
She just made me feel very seen and heard and appreciated.
The admiration is mutual. Here is Senator Klobuchar.
Jessie is this incredible force of nature. Her taking on climate change is just part of her whole really goal in life, to take on big things. She did it with winning the gold when no one thought she was going to. And she's taking on what I consider the biggest crisis in our world right now, which is our warming climate. She knows the science, she uses the science, but she really comes at it from the heart.
But perhaps Jessie's proudest accomplishment was convincing former Representative Eric Paulson, a Republican from Minnesota who is an avid skier, to join the bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus.
There are caucuses for everything. You know, there's a bike caucus, there's a soccer caucus. And so it is sort of a manner of identifying priorities.
That's former Congressman Eric Paulson, who is now a strategic consultant for Total Spectrum, a political consulting firm.
You know, an Olympic gold medalist, you know, comes in and says, hey, this is important, not only to me, but, you know, just to the issues that I'm talking about, you know, it sort of raised the stature of why it would be important to join the caucus. And so, you know, it kind of became an easy decision after that.
Not everyone can bring an Olympic gold medal to Capitol Hill, but we can all make our voices heard.
Jessie encouraged voters to contact their representatives in Congress, which you can do by going to that elected official's website.
If every single person wrote to their senator and said, I care about this, I'd love to see you you know, push this agenda forward in the budget reconciliation package, for example, maybe it would change things.
Former Congressman Eric Paulson agreed.
The average person can absolutely make a difference. And don't hesitate to send a personal note or an actual letter. I mean, people writing letters are few and far between these days because everything is done on social media, of course, or by email. But letters can be really impactful. I remember I took the time as a member of Congress to read letters that I got from my constituents.
It doesn't have to be a political issue. It doesn't have to be a split among party lines. It can be, no, you know what? We're all on the same planet. We all breathe the same air. We all have to get through this together. Maybe this is something that needs to be bipartisan, and maybe we can take the politics out of it to the extent where we all need to care about this.
Winter Olympians are not just talking about climate change. Some are also taking very tangible steps to reduce their environmental footprint.
Our 10-year goal is to be completely off the grid.
That's David Wise, the freestyle skier you heard from earlier in this episode.
My family and I are doing our very best to reduce our carbon footprint, get as self-sustainable lifestyle as we can, hunting and growing our own food, and kind of having like a little bit of a tiny farm.
That's right. David has stopped buying meat from the grocery store and instead hunts on his property in Nevada.
Mostly hunt with a bow because it's just a little bit more pure. It's a little bit more difficult.
And it's a family effort.
Pretty much the whole family participates in the butchering because if you get an elk or something like that, it takes so much time and you just need as many hands as you can possibly get. Sounds weird, but it's one of my son's favorite things to do. Whenever I get something, the first thing he says is, "You're going to let me help you grind it, right?"
Living off the grid has not been easy for the Wise family.
We didn't go out and just buy a ranch and hire a bunch of ranch hands to do all the work for us. And then we just get to pretend like we're Instagram stars doing this like all perfectly. We're actually just struggling through it one step at a time, one meager step at a time. So, I mean, my garden has just been a complete fail for the last two seasons, but we're looking up. Next year's going to be a little bit better. And the year after that's going to be a little bit better.
David's goal is to inspire his followers to become more environmentally conscious by chronicling both the successes and the challenges of his sustainability journey on his family's Instagram page, Wise Off the Grid.
Hey, this should be easier. Here's my journey to do this. And I want to see it become easier and easier for everybody who wants to follow in my footsteps.
I can't farm or hunt in my New York City apartment, so we made sure to ask the winter athletes we talked to for practical sustainability advice. Here's David Wise.
Take an assessment. Take some online tests about where your carbon footprint is biggest and start to make small changes to get a little bit better.
The Environmental Protection Agency has a calculator you can use. You can go to epa.gov, answer a few questions, and see an estimate of how many greenhouse gas emissions your daily activities may create.
There's a lot of really simple things that you can do that you don't even realize, like composting, being a lot better and more meticulous about your recycling. I don't think anybody's going to get good at this overnight. I haven't gotten good at it overnight. I still have a lot of things that I'm like, man, we could be doing a lot better. But just baby steps.
You won't see snowboarder Brock Crouch, who is from San Diego, without a reusable water bottle.
Just like not trying to use plastic, only bringing like reusable water bottles, and just like little things like that. I think that will go such a long ways. I try and do beach cleanups on the weekend and just go down there with a trash bag and a little picker, and it just sucks to see how much people like don't really care about this place. And one day I'd love to have kids and get to be in the mountains with them and be at the beach. And it's all a full circle, you know. It's really a bummer to see like trash all over this world.
Jesse Diggins' advice was relatable as someone who enjoys traveling.
There's times when, you know, you're not going to be carbon neutral. So I guess the first thing I would say is imperfect advocacy is better than none at all. So take all the steps that you can, do everything that you can, and, you know, never stop working towards being a carbon free, but also like don't see that as a barrier to entry.
But we can't deny the elephant in the room. Industries, not individuals, are by far the largest contributors of greenhouse gases. A landmark study in 2017 found that 100 companies were responsible for 71% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. Jessie has used her influence to encourage her apparel sponsor, Salomon, to prioritize sustainability.
That's been really, really cool for me. I'm really proud about that. They pledged to offset the carbon from their athletes from traveling to races, which is very cool. But they're also making this really big push so when they host races to make them carbon neutral or as low as possible.
This conversation can only go so far if a subset of the population isn't convinced climate change is real. So how do we bring those people into the conversation?
I think one of the big things is that we see people get confused by the difference between climate and weather. So the analogy that really makes sense to me is climate is the clothing that you have in your closet. Weather is the jacket that you're going to pull out for today, for right now. And so when we're seeing climate shift, we're seeing the closet shift, right? We're seeing like, oh, turns out you don't need as many parkas because you're not using them. And so there's always going to be times when people say, oh, but it snowed. I made a snowman. Climate change isn't a problem. It doesn't exist. Like, it's snowing right now. That's weather. That's not the big scale patterns that we're seeing. And so I guess what I would say to people is make sure that you're really taking the time to educate yourself about it before just trying to deny it. Because I think sometimes, and I understand, like, to accept that we're in the spot we are in right now is very scary because it's acknowledging that we're in a bad spot. And sometimes it's easier to deny than to accept this reality. But I think that, you know, the only way to fix it is to say, look, we screwed up and we have to fix it. And, you know, we're not perfect, but we're going to do everything we can. And so I think that it's important to be able to face the reality of where we are right now and to trust scientists. Just trust them.
And here's David Wise.
My response to climate change deniers is just to have a conversation with them about it. I'm like, look, guys, it's really pretty simple at this point. I've seen the climate changing with my own two eyes. I'm only 31 years old, but in my lifetime, I've watched winters change drastically. So there's nothing left to deny. The climate is changing. The question isn't whether it's changing or not. It's how fast is it going to change, and can we slow it down enough to keep things that I love to do in the wintertime?
Go back to the My New Favorite Olympian feed right now to check out previous episodes. While you're there, tap the subscribe button to get automatic downloads of My New Favorite Olympian for free. Stay tuned for a preview of next week's episode of My New Favorite Olympian.
The last thing I really remember is my passenger being asleep.
On May 8th, 2016, free skier Colby Stevenson was nearing the end of a 12-hour road trip from Mount Hood, Oregon to Park City, Utah, with his friend John Michael Fabrizi sleeping in the passenger seat. Here's Colby's dad.
I said, get a hotel, Colby. I'll pay for your hotel always. You know, don't try to do 12 hours after skiing all day.
He was like, yeah, like you shouldn't drive.
But Colby didn't want to get a hotel room. His passenger, John Michael, had gotten a knee injury earlier that day.
Anyone that's injured doesn't want to stay in a hotel and would much rather just get home and get ready to recover.
So Colby kept driving through Idaho's dark, windy roads, and that's when it happened.
I just dozed off for like 2 seconds. Just boom, just rolled and the roof of the car crushed my skull and kind of ripped my forehead off from here all the way up.
My New Favorite Olympian was produced by NBCLX. Apollo Ono and I and Guzzi Akelito were your hosts. Seth Rubenroit wrote and produced this episode. Brad Fossler edited this episode. Seth Rubenroit and Fernando Hurtado were supervising producers. Jeremy Berg and Matt Goldberg served as executive producers. Tony Pierce was the motion graphics designer with support from Michael Katowski. Stephen Morello, Nina Lin, and Mackenzie Bain served as directors of photography. Stephen Dawson was the media manager and quality controller. This broadcast is presented by the authority of the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form without the express written consent of the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee.